Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 100, stanzas 1 through 4. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do his will, so shalt thou dwell within the land. So shalt thou dwell within the land, and he thy needs shall fill. 1 through 4 of Psalter 100. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, which we have read together, was created very good. So that there was no spot and there was no blemish in thy work in the beginning. And thou declarest it also unto us. And thou givest that it may have been revealed unto thy servant Moses, who also was not present when thou created this earth, but that thou hast revealed it unto him and given it unto him to write in thy holy word, that we with our children may also know how that this world has come to receive its being, but also how that we may have received our being. But also to whom that we are accountable, for thou art our creator. And we may know out of thy word that we also were created very good. And thou knowest what we have become. Thou knewest it when thou didst create us. and that we also would fall away from thee. That was in thy eternal decree, in order that thou may also create a new thing in the earth, and that woman that may compass a man, that thou may be not only the creator of the earth, but that thou may also and especially be the redeemer of thy people. Oh, that thou may also instruct us in the work of thy hands, not only in the way of creation, but also in that way of redemption, wherein thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory for redeeming thy people, who have sinned themselves outside of thy presence and communion. Lord, it is revealed unto us and unto our children, and we may read it, we may preach it, we may hear it preached, but we cannot bring it into our hearts, not for the first time, not by renewal. Wilt thou look upon us on this thy day, which is also thy institution, in that we may read of in that chapter that follows. Lord, thou didst rest also from all thy labors. Thou dost command us to rest from our labors in this world, but that thou hast also given thy Sabbath day as a blessed type of an eternal rest, a rest that begins already here in this world. Oh, that there may be a people that do labor and are heavy laden in this world, and that do not know the way to receive that rest, that thou may also proclaim unto them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest, that they also may be given to know something, not only of that external rest, but of that eternal rest, that they may know by beginnings here also upon this world. Lord, that each and every one of us may not be strangers to the beginning of that rest, that we may desire to be in thy house on thy Sabbath day, not only out of form and out of custom, not only because we are brought by the hand of our father and of our mother, but that our heart itself may yearn after thee and the true and the living God, and that we could not do without thee in this world, and that so that need may drive us out, that we may learn what we are in ourself and what we have lost in our deep fall, and that we may be driven to that place where it is from our side an impossibility, that we may be given to see by a true and living faith that thou hast made a way in thine only begotten Son. O Lord, in thee alone is there hope and expectation for the beginning of that life, for the continuation, for the fulfillment. Thou who art the Alpha, thou who art the Omega, wilt thou remember each and every one of us, that we may be raised from the death of our spiritual sleep, and that we may be given that life that hungers and that thirsts after God, and that the blessed Son of God, in all his mediatorial engravings, may become our all and in all. Lord, he is white and ruddy in the eyes of thy church, to whom is opened that pit of corruption that lies within them, which they are not able to cleanse away, which they are not able to overcome, and for which they have from their own side to suffer eternal death. Oh, that thou would grant unto them that true and that living faith, and that may go out unto thee in thy only begotten Son. Look upon each one of us, remember us. If we deceive ourselves, Lord, thou knowest what our hearts are. Each and every one of us does desire the portion of thy people. Each and every one of us does desire happiness in this world. And we desire to be happy also when we die. Each and every one of us does say, even as he of old, let me die the death of the righteous. But we have of ourselves no desire to return unto our Creator, to return unto our Maker. Oh, that the preaching of thy word in this afternoon may be by thy Holy Spirit a little means and to the awakening of such a desire in our soul, that we may be given to see what our beginning was and what we have left in our father Adam, and that there may be a new desire born in our soul in this day, that we may return again. Oh, then it is possible to be washed and to be cleansed. Then it is possible to be forgiven all our iniquity. And it is possible to be brought into an even closer relationship to thee than our father Adam was in a covenant of works. Lord, thou in all thy wisdom did make a way in which thou wilt give fallen men to glorify and to magnify the name of God forever and forever. Oh, that thou would begin that great work in us and in our dear children in this day. Wilt thou look upon each and every one in all the affairs of this life, fathers in the labors of their hands in this world? And wilt thou give strength and diligence and faithfulness? Wilt thou bless the work of our hands, that we may bring in that which is necessary for the sustenance of our families? Mothers also in their duties within the home, that thou would strengthen them in all their cares and concerns, in laboring to bring up the children. Lord, may thou strengthen and help them hour by hour and day by day. And wilt thou give love in the midst of our families, brothers and sisters, children to parents, and parents to children? And wilt thou give obedience there also, that thy name may, and thy presence and thy spirit may dwell in the midst of us as families, and that thy work also may be evident therein? And wilt thou look upon us also as a nation? Thou knowest the turmoil that is within our government at the present time. And then thou hast given for a moment there may be a reprieve. But Lord, thou knowest all that needs to come. Oh, that thou would watch over it, and that thou would remember us in mercy, that thou would not deal with us as a nation according to our sins, to allow us to go on in our sinful and evil ways more and more. Oh, wilt thou withhold by thy almighty hand, thou who art the creator of the world, and thou who art the God of providence, who hath the heart of kings in thy hand, thou who art able to make it well, wilt thou show that thou art above it all? And wilt thou supply in all our need and turn us again from all of our wicked ways and draw us to seek the face of our Maker? Wilt thou look upon our mission fields, all those that labor therein, far away from their loved ones often? Wilt thou bless the work of their hands? Wilt thou strengthen them for that work? Remember also the mission board, who hopes to meet in the week to come. Also our brother who will go to that place in this week. Wilt thou give traveling mercies? And wilt thou bless the labors of their hands and the decisions that must be made? And wilt thou bless and sanctify thy word that is brought over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Wilt thou then go with thy word, that Jew and Gentile, that old and young, that high and low, may come to bow their knees before thee, before that thou comest to judge the quick and the dead, and before that that door that is forever shut? Oh, look then upon all those that are afflicted and sick, and those that mourn. Remember them and the places where they may be in this day. And wilt thou go before us as a congregation? Wilt thou bless thy word in our midst? Wilt thou give that thy law may be the subject and the meditation of our hearts, that we may delight ourselves in searching thy truths and the works also of our forefathers who have received light from thee in their explanations? Lord, may thou give us to search therein, that we may be instructed by thee thereby. And wilt thou bless those means also for the conversion of young and old? Wilt thou so go with us also in this afternoon hour? Help us once again, and strengthen us in mind and body in the bringing of thy holy word. Give us simplicity, give us earnestness, and give that thy name may receive all the glory and all the honor, and that souls in our midst may receive the benefit. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 15, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain. Weakest means fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. The last collection today is for our school. We announce that there will be, the Lord willing, a male members meeting on Thursday, December 11th at 7:30 p.m., Nominations for Elder, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden and Mr. John Moons. For Deacon, Mr. Rick Busicum and Mr. Hank Arnoldusen. Psalter 15, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, what a blessing that the Lord has given in the relations that He has given within families. That is the relation of parents, children, and siblings. Who can deny that these relations are a source of much comfort and much happiness according to this life, the world that is so full of misery. And still there is a bright spot in the midst of this world, which the Lord has still preserved to some degree. That is that of marriage and of the relations within families. We know that Satan does his work in order to destroy even what is left to us in this way from the Lord. Children who do not know the relation of siblings, because parents purposely limit the size of their families. Children growing up in this world without the comforts and without the instruction of a father or of a mother within their own home. So that so many children do not even know anymore what that this blessed family unit is. So very often discipline lacking, so that children are permitted to do what is right in their own eyes in this world. Thus the foundation of that society which the Lord has given us in this world that is continually broken down. Because of this, less and less is understood also even in a natural way of God's Word, but also of God Himself. Why? Because the Lord is using those family relationships very often in His Word to reveal something concerning Himself. Thus we heard something of this in this morning, children. What that means when the Lord is expressing Himself in His Word, in just as if He had those characteristics of a man, characteristics that we have in this world in order that we may understand. So that is also concerning those relations that we may have between parents and children and between siblings that are in this world. Does not the Lord reveal Himself in His Word as the bridegroom of His church? Thus, when children do not see that love, that care, that self-denial that is existing between their father and their mother, then they have no conception of what the Lord reveals to us in His Word concerning that relation between Himself and His church. Does not the Lord reveal Himself in His Word as the elder brother of His people? Young people,
We read in the Word of God that a brother is born for adversity. Is that also in your family? Is that something that is seen and that is experienced also by you, by brothers, by sisters? Then you have a little conception of what the Lord says in His Word concerning that relation between Himself and His church. And thus also the first person of that Holy Trinity that we have considered last week also reveals Himself as Father. And when we may know a little bit of the love and of the care of a natural father, and then we may enter just a little bit in a natural way into the mysteries of that Holy Word of God. And we wish to consider this together out of Lord's Day 9 in this afternoon, question 26 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 9, question 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So far, our Lord's Day, the eternal fatherhood of Christ, of God. First, the substance of this fatherhood. Second, the comfort of this fatherhood. The eternal fatherhood of God. First, the substance of this fatherhood. Second, the comfort of this fatherhood. What believest thou? Therein we see, congregation, immediately that our fathers become again so personal. Then it is not what our neighbor may be given to believe. No, but immediately that question is addressed unto us. What believest thou? Thus made also become by the Spirit of the Lord personal. Short time ago, we spoke about the objects of faith. That is, children, the object of faith, that is what a person believes. So true faith that always has an object, true faith that always believes something. False faith that is very often confused in its object. It knows only things which are generalities. But when the Lord is giving faith in exercise in His church, then a person knows what the Lord gives him to believe. And what is that faith that our fathers speak of in this Lord's Day that has to do with faith in God as the Father of His creation? What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Then in our answer, our instructors speak of the fatherhood of God, even from eternity. They speak about the eternal Father. Thus, already in that council of peace, already before the world was, then God Himself had a place as Father. We know that in that council that He has appointed His Son, that He has given unto His Son an inheritance. Thus, He has shown Himself to be Father already in eternity. And that fatherhood of God that has shown itself, it has revealed itself also in the execution of that counsel in eternity. As we have read it in the creation of the world, and if we would go further, then we may read it in the revelation of a covenant of works unto our father Adam, in a suffering of the fall of man to take place in this world, that He may glorify His justice and that He may glorify His mercy. We may read further throughout the entire Word of God how that He has, as Father, also established that covenant of grace. I will be thy God, and thou shalt be my people. Thus He gave a promise concerning this already in the Old Testament. He gave a law of ceremonies, we can read of it, and the fulfillment of this in that New Testament. As Father, He performed His work in the sending of His Son, in the sending of His Holy Spirit, laying the iniquity of His church as a burden upon His Son. As a Father who knows what His Son is able to bear, knowing what payment that He has demanded from His Son, knowing the strength and knowing what it was possible for His own Son to perform, as Father also helping Him in His work, as Father receiving that work in raising Him from the dead, as Father filling Him without measure with His Holy Spirit. Thus, we can read of that work of the Father from eternity in creation and in the fulfilling of His will in the salvation of His church in the time. Thus, our catechism speaks about the eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, He is a Father because He has a Son. And that Son, He is, we can read in God's Word, although it is not for our finite and limited understanding, that Son is begotten of the Father. That is, by an eternal generation. That is not something that is taking place only in eternity, but that is a generation which we hope to consider further in Lord's Day 13, a generation of that Son that continues also in the time, that the Father continually is imparting His essence unto the Son. Thus He is Father because He has a Son. But that sonship, that is also the basis, that is also the foundation of another fatherhood. That is, that he may be the father of his people. When did he become the father of his church? We can read in the Word of God that he has loved them from all eternity. I have loved thee, he says, with an everlasting love. We know that in the time when he has created time, that he became their father in the creation, that he is their father, the father of his creatures. But it was also his elect, it was also his children that have chosen for themselves another father. Can you imagine that, young people, boys and girls? When you would dislike your own father, and that you would decide that you would choose another father. That is now what we have done in paradise. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." And when we, in our unconverted state, in our unreconciled state before God, still continue in our father Adam, and then when he has chosen the devil for his father, this is also our natural choice. But then there comes a moment in the life of that elect of God, those loved from eternity, where he becomes their father once again. But that is a fatherhood that is different than that fatherhood of creation. In what way? How does that church become the sons of God? And how does God become the father of his people? Well, he becomes their father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, it is not the same as Christ is the Son and as he is the father of the Son, because he is the father of the Son by generation. But he is the father of his people by adoption. What happens, parents, when our son will take unto himself a bride? Then we become in that moment the father of this bride. And so when that son, as the bridegroom of his church, has taken unto himself his bride, when he has said, "I am married unto you," then that church that becomes the son, the daughter of God as their father. In this Lord's Day, our instructors speak especially about the fatherhood of God over the creation. But that is not the fatherhood of God over the creation as the creation is in and of itself. No, but the fatherhood of God over the creation as that creation exists for the sake of his church. Because that is the only reason that this whole world is existing, that is for the sake of the service of the true church of God. Thus our fathers ask, "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?" And our answer that speaks first, actually by way of parentheses, of this Father of creation, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. Thus our fathers speak first of the fatherhood of this creation. The world does not believe we know of in God as the father of the creation of heaven and earth, since Darwin, the theory of Satan, has taken hold of the professors and the teachers and the scientists and that are in this world. There is nothing but rebellion in that theory that Satan has put into the heart of man. And that is a theory that is nothing more than a continuation of what our Father has done in paradise, that is, in rejection of God. That is to deny our Creator, that is to deny our accountability to Him, that we have to return to Him with everything that we have received. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? That is the heart of that natural man. The earth is not coming into being, as we may see it all about us, by the natural ordering of the chaos that was in the beginning. That is just the opposite of what we see in nature. When we see in nature something that has been constructed by man and it is left by man, it is not upheld by man, it is not maintained and taken care of, what happens to it, boys and girls? You see from time to time a barn, and that barn is falling down. No one is taking care of it. And when no one takes care of it, then pretty soon it falls, and if we will still leave it there, it will fall flat on the ground, and that wood, that will decompose, and it will turn into its original substance once again. It will go back onto the dust of this earth. Thus, from being a complex designed structure in this world, it is going from the state of being complex again into what is very simple. We do not see it the other way around. And that it is all by itself becoming from simple and designing itself into some kind of a complex structure. Thus, what the scientists say, that this earth that has come into its beautiful and orderly design, that is the opposite of what our eyes do see. Even though scientists say that we must go only by what we observe. Then we may speak about the existence of matter itself. Matter did not come into existence by itself. There is no way for a man to explain the beginning of the existence of matter outside of the hand of a creator. That is why we confess what our fathers say, an almighty God who of nothing made heaven and earth. That is the language of faith. Scientists say, no, we do not take faith into consideration. Then only ask them, young people, only ask them, where was that first cell? Where was the first matter? And when they have no answer, then you may say, then you also believe something. Although it is absurd that it came all by itself. Thus, we see, we experience the truth of God's word, that He hides it from the wise and the prudent, and that he reveals it unto the babes. There are those who try to mix. They try to mix the doctrine of devils with that holy word of God. Theistic evolution. What is that? Evolution, just like they say, millions, billions, billions of years, but that God did this. Thus, by the hand of God, how can we reconcile it with God's word? Well, God spoke in a symbolic way when he said, day one, day two, day three, each day that is billions of years. That is a very long length of time. Theistic God connected with evolution. That is impossible. And we read every Sabbath day in the Holy Word of God that the Lord says to us, 6 days shalt thou labor. What kind of days must we labor? They are not billions of years. No, they are one day. And that same kind of day, the Lord says, he gives a foundation for this laboring. Why labor 6 days? Because the Lord labored 6 days. And thus he speaks of a normal day. Thus, there is no combining evolution with our holy word of God. But evolution that is an attempt to disregard God altogether. Where does it all lead? Well, at one time they thought that there was life on the moon, and now they look for life on Mars. Why? Because then they can show, supposedly, that no, man is not the crown of the creation of God. But man just exists on this planet just like on other planets in the universe. There also is life. And thus it is an attempt to disregard God altogether. Young people, remember that there is a difference between theory and fact. And when you will go to universities, then these theories, they are presented to you as fact. That they are presented just as if they are proven, that there is substantial evidence to show that they are truth. And yet it is ever changing. And why is it ever changing? Because it is all false. But the Holy Scriptures do not change. And God does not change. And the evidences that are in this world, that we may see all about us, that we may experience, they are evidences that show that word of God to be truth. Is the Bible then a textbook for the scientist? No. No. We know, children, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the sun arose upon the earth. Well, you know that it is not technically the sun. No, it is the earth that is rotating, that is moving, and therefore we see just as if the sun is rising. Thus you say, the scripture is wrong. No. But we told you in this morning how that the Lord has given the authors of the Bible to write That is, from the perspective of man. And what do we see? We see that as if the sun is arising, and therefore it is written so in that Word of God. The Word of God was not meant, it was not written to be a scientific textbook. But all that modern science in the evil way that is performed leaves no room for that true saving faith. Thus, they are theories of unbelief. But faith is exactly that thing which that church is finding to be their true comfort. That is that thing wherein God is being glorified. We sang about that together. That the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Thus, the creation being the means for a rejoicing in God. What does David say? The Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord will give strength unto His people. Therefore, it is faith, and that is giving strength in the life of His people concerning the God of the creation. The Lord Himself is declaring His own wonders to His servant Job. For what reason? That He may give him instruction. Thus that instruction, thus that rejoicing, but in a special way the comfort that is received out of that heavenly fatherhood of God. But let us sing. Psalter 37, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The spacious heavens declare the glory of our God. The firmament displays His handiwork abroad. Day unto day proclaims His might, and night His wisdom tells to night. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 37.
Our second thought, the comfort of the eternal fatherhood of God. Congregation, our Heidelberg Catechism is a book of comfort. And to whom does comfort belong? Comfort belongs to God's true people. Thus, the Catechism is not just a book of dry doctrine. No, but that Catechism is a book that is very beloved within that true church of God. But it is also written from the perspective of the full assurance of faith. And that is necessary. Why? In order to show the riches that are contained in that true faith. Let us listen then once again to what our fathers say is that great comfort that is contained in this doctrine. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. That is the language of true faith in exercise, which is appropriating all the benefits of the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do not say that the church is able always to exercise that faith, but the benefits of this blessing are belonging to that true church. So what is it then that people may believe? Our fathers say that this God that has created that massive universe, the heavens and the earth, that this is my God and that this is my Father. There really, congregation, is so much in it, especially when we may consider that relationship of a father to his son. There is in the heart of a father love for his children. Maybe that does not always seem that way, young people, boys and girls. But there is love in the heart of a father for his children. And now what do our fathers confess? They say that we live in a valley of tears. That is this life. Do you think it to be so too? Or do we look for happiness in this life? Our fathers, they call this whole life, they call it a valley of tears. Moses says the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength the best part of our life, the strength of our life, that is labor and sorrow. Where does this valley of tears come from? It comes from sin, original sin, actual sin. If there was no sin, there would be no sorrow. But we come crying into this world. And man tries to cover it up with laughing, but it is so shallow and it is so superficial. Do you ever feel that, young people? The reality is, as our fathers say, a valley of tears, according to the holy word of God. And now, in that valley of tears, what is now the comfort of a man who lives in such a valley of tears in a state of unbelief? He has no comfort. He may only resign himself to fate when he experiences all his tribulations, which he will also experience in this world. Come on the righteous, they come on the wicked. In that day of evil, in that day of calamity, then he will experience that all his relations here, they have no power, maybe even no sympathy. David, he says, I look to my right hand, and he says, there was no man that would know me. But what a different portion is for the life of God's people. Why? Because God is their Father. David, he says, I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. That was in the valley of tears, so that David had a place where he may go. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So his son also testified, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. On him our instructors are saying, I rely so entirely that I have no doubt that he will provide me all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. What a rest. What a peace in this valley of tears. This is how Abraham may, by faith, go when the Lord called him unto that country, having no knowledge where he was going. And by what other faith may Jacob return unto that place in the midst of all his fears? And by what other faith can Joseph go down into that land of Egypt? By what other faith may a Moses, may a Rahab, may they take the side, may they cast in their lot with the afflicted people of God in this world? By what other faith? Is it not that same faith that Paul may say, I may glory in tribulations also? Is that not that same faith to this very day? And that people may by grace cast all their care by times upon him that careth for you? Or upon what is that faith resting? Upon what is that faith based? Two things. Our fathers say, he is almighty, he is able to do it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is the creator, that is the maker of this whole universe. And the Lord shows this to his people for their own comfort. He says, every beast of the field that is mine, and the cattle that are upon 1,000 hills, they are mine. Call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What did the Lord Jesus say? Even
fowls of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. That thus the Lord shows unto his church that he is the creator, he is the maker, he is the provider for this whole universe. That is, he is the Almighty God. He is able to do it. But then we also need something else. And what is that other part that we need? Children, Lazarus lay by the gate of a rich man. He was very rich, but it did not help him any, because he was not his friend. And therefore, we need not only to know that God is Almighty, but we also need to know something else. We also need to know that he is our Father. And so our fathers say that he is able to do it, being Almighty God. But then they add that other part, that most necessary part, and also willing, being a faithful father. How different that was in the life of Mephibosheth. Why? Because David, with all his riches, was also his friend. This congregation, we can speak about the almighty power of God, the Father of this creation, of this world. Then we must ask ourselves, what is the comfort in it for me, personally? What believest thou? And then we need to ask this searching question. Is he my Father? How many do not force themselves with a strong imagination to believe that God is my Father? That when I go into the Holy Word and the God's Word, that is urging me not to doubt that God is my Father. The Pharisees said, we have one Father, even God. The Lord Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Then there are those that do not dare to claim that God is their father, and yet they are his children, because he is the father of every one of his children, also those who are not able to call him father. Thus are you a child. So how do I know if I am a child? Congregation, do we know the life of a child? What is the life of a child? Well, we all were children. And we have children. Do we know the cry of a child? As one who has lost his mother, who has lost his father, who can't find him, who missed them, do we know the love of a child for a father and for mother? A love which transfers into obedience in this world? Do we know the fear of a child? Not the fear of a servant for his master, but the fear of a child for his father? Do we know sometimes also the chastisement of a child, of a disobedient child? Because this father chasteneth, we read, whom he loveth. Do we know what it means to mourn as a child?
because we have sinned against a father? Do we know what it means to sing as a child? When we may pour our heart out before the Lord? Do we know what it is to trust as a child? Do we know what it is to boast as a child? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Oh, not of ourselves, but of a father. If we are a child, then we will know. We will know, we will experience the place of a child, even if our childship and his fathership is to us unclear. Then we will still know of these matters and congregation, if a child, than an heir. Than an heir of God and a joint heir, we read, with Christ. Oh, is it our desire that we may become a child? Is it our desire that we may know ourselves to be a child and such an heir? Then we may have something of this comfort that our fathers are speaking of here in this Lord's Day. That he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we deserve to be cast out and not to be children, and thou art the witness of our life and of our hearts. O that thou may bring us again, and that thou may look upon us in thy only begotten Son and receive us in him alone. And that we may be received as children adopted by thee. Wilt thou look upon us further in this thy day? Oh, that thy word may be the joy in the meditation of our hearts, and that we may search therein thy truths. Go with us in the week to come, in all the labors of our hands. Wilt thou remember when we hope to meet as a consistory, as a congregation? Wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand? And wilt thou thyself show the way in all these things? Remember us in catechizing our children and our youth, and in all the activities of the week that is to come and all that lays upon us. May thou bless the labors of our hands, each one in our place in this world. May thy word be sanctified and blessed. Forgive all that was sinful this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 248, stanzas 1 through 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God, shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1 through 4 of Psalter 248.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.